By now, things had moved along, I guess, in the administration. David was still the housing coordinator, and the decision had been taken without our knowledge that it was really too expensive to redo that community, so they were just going to more or less let it go. Mm-hmm. And that, I don't know whether, well, I'm sure you did read the little article that was written on me. That was the one time when I really sort of lost my temper and pounded on somebody's desk. Mm-hmm. I went, not alone, I went with several people, mm-hmm. and we talked and I talked until I was blue in the face, and of course it was very little that he could mm-hmm. do or thought he could do. Mm-hmm. And so it was very bland, you know, I mean, I'll tell people, you know, I'll report what you're saying, but... And I finally, you know, said, none of you have the right to say at this point to this group of people who have patiently waited for almost 14 years for renewal of their community that there will not be a community. You have got to come through, and if you don't, you're going to hear from us from now till the day I die. Well, he knew me by then. Mm-hmm. And of course, we didn't stop there. The meetings over and over again were loud and clear. Mm-hmm. So we got a high rise for the elderly, and it's a beauty.
Where is this?
Glen Hazel.
Glen Hazel, yeah.
It's a beauty. It was one of the first. And it's well kept. We got 101. Individual housing. Mm-hmm. This is all subsidized housing, mm-hmm. rental housing. Mm-hmm. They're individual, lovely little homes. And about 400 or 500, there were approximately 1,000 units, if I remember correctly, something like that, maybe a little more, mm-hmm. in the community. Mm-hmm. So we didn't get them all replaced. And of course, by the time, you know, they did respond to us, at least half of it was empty, maybe more. Mm-hmm. But as I say, we did get the high rise, and it's a beauty, and it's full. We did get the 101, mm-hmm. and they're lovely to this day. And we did get, I think, about 400 renovated apartments. Mm-hmm. And I consider that was enormous. And that was community action.
That's great.
Pure and simple.
Terrific, yeah.
During that period, they thought maybe they'd close the school. We went to bat for that.
Which school was
the school?
I lost
the name of the school at the moment. It was right there.
Uh-huh. In Glen Hazel.
No, in Hazelwood.
Hazelwood.
Right there, yeah.
Greenfield School.
No. Greenfield is too far away. It's right there.
All I can think of is St. Rosalia, but that's
not
right.
No,
it's a Catholic school.
Yeah.
Well,
I'll try to think of it. But at any rate, and the only point to that school business is mm-hmm. When you talk about housing, at least when I talk about housing, it isn't just a roof over your head.
Right.
The quality of life goes into housing.
Yeah, the neighborhood.
Or housing, I should say, goes into the quality of life.
Sure, the whole area.
And the whole area, that is. Mm-hmm. The neighborhood, what happens to the neighborhood, how the neighborhood is maintained, the feeling in the in the neighborhood, the whole bit. And that even encompasses employment.
Mm-hmm. What happened to the earlier housing that was built without the maintenance?
The owners, the 235s, mm-hmm. They never did expect anything more than the 1%. So they either, they lived or they died by themselves, so to speak, mm-hmm. as owners.
Mm-hmm.
And as I say, I don't think more than 15%. If you've ever bothered to look in the paper, HUD advertises mm-hmm. Houses that they have mm-hmm. got back because they've gone delinquent.
Mm-hmm.
If you notice, there are relatively few in the city.
No, I never noticed that.
That's right.
I've seen them advertised, mm-hmm. but I
and
never
there are relatively
really
few in the city. And that's because, by and large, as I say, the 15% is actually a lot. But not in this situation. Mm-hmm. I'm guessing at 15. It might have gone to 20, but I don't think so. Mm-hmm. I don't think so. So that was the 235s. They did well. Okay. And there was also the 221D3s, and that's another group, and they did very well, too. The 236s, that is, the rentals, did not do particularly well. In order to rescue them, the Section 8, which is a subsidy on offered in one of two ways. One is a subsidy on the unit, and the other is the subsidy that you get and then find a unit that is sound.
Right.
And then your, now it's 30%, it was 20 to 25% of your income is paid, and the government pays the rest. So they were rescued that way.
Okay.
In large measure, they the subsidized units got Section 8.
Why don't we interrupt for a second?
Yes, I... Okay, the last time we ended was with you were speaking about becoming chairman, and I was wondering if you could tell me a little bit about your duties as the chairman of the committee.
Well, they evolved as the need became evident in various areas. One of the most time-consuming of the duties was the agenda for the monthly meeting. And I saw that as a particularly important responsibility in the sense that I felt that this was one way of bringing to people who could who both needed and could use information about both about what the city was considering and what the city was actually doing in the way of upgrading, maintaining, upgrading housing, and what they were doing about neighborhood upgrading, which meant that you have to understand that I was doing this in large measure because I was one of the few people around who did not have a boss, did not have a job, a paying job, and therefore did not have to answer to anybody, so that I could reach out and ask for things and do things in the name of the citizenry and the community and not have any repercussions. So it was a natural kind of thing for me to do. But what it meant was that I had to stay on top of what was happening. I had to stay on top of what people were thinking and of what people were doing, and somehow find out the little bits and pieces of the of the housing picture.
How did you do that exactly? Did you talk to the residents themselves particularly?
Well, I didn't go after them. They came to me.
Okay.
So that I it became known that I was around.
Mm-hmm.
Let's put it that way. So I would get calls. Did you know this? Or I'm in trouble. Or you know, this kind of thing, or I heard about this and I don't know how it works.
Mm-hmm.
Also,
they call you here at home?
Down here, but you know,
yeah.
And yes, they did indeed. And so I would go to work, and I fairly quickly made developed relationships, let's put it that way, so that people were responsive to me, and I think I still say it in my sleep, they were not really being responsive to Charlotte Cohen. They were being responsive to community interest and action, mm-hmm. because I represented a very large group. And things were not particularly good in the housing field when I got going. So there were real problems. And when there are real problems, people come to a center that might possibly offer help.
What, could you be a little specific about the kinds of problems? I mean, were they as detailed as a...
Well, for instance, one of the first problems that I came on, and it took a number of years to work out, which resulted in the rodent control. That came to me because people from the north side called me and said, we don't know where to turn. A particular street and a particular alley are just impossible to live with anymore. And nobody seems to be responding to us.
Now, did that result in what we have now in the city, the rodent control?
Yes, there was no rodent control.
Did you get a notice all the time?
That's right.
The community's being inspected or something.
That was a program that was conceived in part, in my mind, was developed at a table, not much bigger than this, with people sitting around it. I ran the program, the pilot, with some very devoted people, and proved that it could work. But that took a number of years. And as I say, it began.
Mm-hmm.
It began with people complaining bitterly about dirty streets and rats running around, mm-hmm. and very poor garbage collection. Well, in very short order, as I became more evident and what I represented became known, in the sense that I was an independent, okay, I fairly quickly actually made friends with the man who was then head of refuse collection, and that was Jim Conway. And when this business with the bad refuse collection, garbage collection on the north side, which was then being subcontracted, mm-hmm. the city was not doing it, it was subcontracted to somebody else, he agreed to take me, to go with me, really not take me, but to go with me so we could examine what these people were really crying about. Well, I think I'm jumping. The first thing I did was ask the mayor's complaint center, and that there was before us. That was Flaherty's idea.
Mm-hmm.
And I got them to respond to the first desperate call on two alleys. Then I got this call and this open report on some very bad conditions over on the north side. And Jim came for me, and we went over there, and I literally couldn't believe what I was seeing. I'm not going to identify it any further because there are people living over there. It's much better now. But it was Central North Side, and it was beyond belief in terms of the filth. And the empty houses were bulging with garbage. Nobody was doing anything about it. And you had to be careful. I don't have that big feet, but there wasn't place hardly to put my feet down that I wasn't walking on garbage, and people were living in that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this was not a situation that I was willing to live with. And I got Jim to see it, and the first thing that happened is he assigned people over there. He put, you know, those big boxes.
Mm-hmm.
They're not called boxes. I'll think of what they called in a minute.
Those dumpsters.
Uh-huh. A couple of dumpsters out there, and he put people out there to clean that up and got the city to take back. You know, they ran out the contract, and then they were collecting. At any rate, we did get that mess cleaned up. From there, we began talking about cleaning up generally.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that struck me was that every time we had a bad rain, we had sewers and catch basins that flooded all over the place. Well, that didn't sound right. They needed to be cleaned. obviously. So I began, not just me, we had a subcommittee. Among the various things that I did do was see that the subcommittees ran, but for the most part, some of these subcommittees I chaired, simply because it worked out that way.
I'm wondering if you could tell me what the subcommittees were.
Okay, one of them was the refuse and we didn't call it refuse, I think, in a minute, I think, of what we did call that. At any rate, one was the rehab and code enforcement. One was the, well, that's escaping at the moment. But did we say? No, you left off a fair amount of what we did say. Department of Environmental Control. We started that by calling it the Subcommittee on Environmental Control because mm-hmm. we weren't just talking about garbage collection. Well, one thing led to another, and a person in Squirrel Hill called me and said, "We understand that there's such a committee. Can you do something? The rats are coming out to play." Mm-hmm. And this is one of the, well, Fernwall mm-hmm. in Squirrel Hill.
Sure.
And there were the rats coming
on
out.
On Fernwall.
On Fernwall. Nice they were coming, very. And they were coming out to play at dusk. And the people were beside themselves, and nobody could do anything. Well, obviously, that wasn't something I was going to sit tight for, so we began working with that to see what we could do. Well, there was a rodent control program. If I'm going into too much detail, please tell me. Okay. There was a rodent control program which was developed with model cities back in the late 60s mm-hmm. and early, continued into the 70s, in the Hill. And that was a very expensive program because, for two reasons, one, that money was no object at that time, which was unfortunate, and two, the Hill is riddled with old mines and water catches and so forth, as well as, unfortunately, at that time, lots of badly disposed garbage. Net result was a wonderful breeding ground. That, of course, was where there was intensive rodent control, which didn't get them very far, but there was. But that was very expensive, as they say. Well, they projected that, anybody who thought about it projected that and said you couldn't possibly have rodent control of the city without a minimum of $5 million being allotted. I said that was nonsense, that by then I understood a good deal of what we did have in the way of city services and county services. And as I told you, one of the first things that I was able to do, because I happened to be a representative of the kind that I am, I was able to bring county and city together. There had not been for a long time any kind of coordinated action, but with me it was possible to do, and so there they were, and I became aware that between us, between county and city, with a little bit of fleshing out, we could indeed put a program on the line, beside which there was state money that we could tap that had never been tapped.
Mm-hmm. What kind of program did you put into effect at that point?
The pilot of the program that exists today.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That is called the Department of Environmental Control.
That was at that point there was no such department. At that point, the refuse collection, which was the the forerunner, actually reported to supplies, the Department of Supplies, which was a funny place to report, but that's where it was. Okay. And the responsibility for sewers and catch basins rested with the Department of Roads and Highways.
That sounds about right.
And what happened when we did get the go-ahead, you know, they laughed at me and said, well, all right, you know, you want to try it, go try it. You're not really asking for too much money, you know. Mm-hmm. Go ahead. I never worked with Flaherty himself. I worked with one of his chief deputies.
Who was that?
Aides. I can't remember his name at the moment. Big, tall guy. Not Riley. I'll try and think of him. Anyway. I did get, you know, they said, go ahead, you know, see what you can do.
Who did you work with from the county, the commissioners themselves?
No, again, this was the health department.
Ah, I see.
This was the health department. And this was Ed McCluskey, mm-hmm. and on the pilot rodent control committee, there was Ed McCluskey, and there was, I haven't thought of their names for a good while.
That's okay.
Some of them have, but Ed was the chief at that mm-hmm. time, so he was on. But he had a couple of other people with him. And I'm sorry, I can't remember the name of the man who used to come in from Butler. He was the Harrisburg representative mm-hmm. of the Department of Environmental Control, Environmental Services. And he was the Western representative, and so he was interested in what we were doing, and we proved it out. We got money from state for the first time. But at any rate, he was part of it, and the director of highways and roads was part of the committee, and Jim Conway, the director, was part of the committee. And Judge Pankower was sat on the committee with us. And, I don't know, there were, what I had done, frankly, was bring together as many people as I could think of that had little pieces that we might have to turn to if, mm-hmm. you know, things didn't go right. Dorothy Richardson, but she didn't come as often as she might have, because she was busy with other things, and at that point she was sure that I was crazy anyway, so that, you know, it's just one of
them.
She is really a fabulous human being. She's at present the supervisor, or it has been since its inception, the supervisor of the housing clinic, which is a part of the housing court.
Right, you mentioned that before. That
but she was the head of the Citizens Against Slum Housing, yes. CASH. Mm-hmm. And she, as a citizen representative, drew to her a lot of people who worked with her. Mm-hmm. And was in part responsible for the establishment of the housing court. She worked closely with Mayor Barr. Now, she was a housewife, essentially untrained. She's black. But when they when the housing court was developed, the housing clinic came shortly thereafter, and she became employed. She became a supervisor, and she's been employed that way from that day forward. There are, incidentally, two Dorothy Richardsons. This one is with housing. The other one is with a offenders.
Children and youth. That's what I, the name struck me, and that's why I asked you who it was.
Yeah. But this is a sister-in-law.
Oh, that's interesting.
They have the same name. Mm-hmm. They are sisters-in-law. At any rate, she was one of the people that felt that this that the city simply had to designate a very large sum of money mm-hmm. before you could proceed with this. And I was saying no, and she was saying I was crazy, and I'd find that out. At any rate, we did undertake it, and it was a very difficult summer for me, I have to tell you, because...
Remember what year that was?
That would have been 74, 75.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That's the year the pilot began.
That was the year that I finally succeeded in getting permission. It was the summer of 74.
Mm-hmm.
74, 75.
Okay. That
somewhere in there, yeah. Sorry.
And that summer was difficult for you?
It was very difficult for me. You remember I told you that I don't drive.
Mm-hmm.
I've also shared with you the fact that I have physical problems. I don't walk very well. I didn't then. I don't now. That's because of my brace. I've had the brace carried with it. Problems that resulted in bad circulation in my legs. This is long before the heart condition and all that kind of business. At any rate, I don't use buses by myself either for two reasons. One, and for heaven's sakes, don't write this up, please. Sometimes it's difficult for me to get on a bus.
Mm-hmm.
Two, if a bus stops suddenly, I'm stiff.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't bend with a sudden sway, so I go down. Well, that's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
And third, a bus rarely takes you close enough.
That's true. Mm-hmm.
So it was a problem to get down there, and we met a minimum of every other week. You can't run a pilot with that. And in between, of course, I was on the phone with people. But what I have to tell you is this could never have happened except somehow, and I don't know how, I caught the imagination of the people who were working with this.
Mm-hmm.
And, or maybe they had been ready for it. Maybe they were simply waiting for somebody to say, let's go. However it happened, you couldn't have wanted for better cooperation from people. I still marvel, as I tried to tell you, just what kind of cooperation these people mm-hmm. offered. Now, we did take, what we did was get county, some people from county, some people from city, and we fleshed it out. That's why it's a spring-summer
mm-hmm.
Program. We fleshed it out at that time with summer help, that is,
mm-hmm.
young
mm-hmm.
summer help, that we indoctrinated and certainly that first year, actually through the second year too, I would address them and try to explain where we were going, and so forth.
Can I think of what that's called, the teen jobs? Is that
that's what
that are given, were given in
were
the summer,
given
then
in
I don't
the
think
summer,
that
right.
still exists?
To a small extent,
it
yes,
does,
it does, uh-huh, but slightly differently. But at any rate, I can't think of it either at the moment.
Yeah, I can't, but that's easily findable.
But at any rate, the point is that we did attempt it. In working out the program, we felt very strongly that just examine, the reason for the backyards, let me back up. The reason for the backyards is that unless you control the environment that you have in your backyard,
mm-hmm.
that is, unless you care for your rubbish properly, and you don't store wood
mm-hmm.
that can be gnawed, and you don't store possible foodstuffs, of
mm-hmm.
that nature, and you don't permit overgrowth, which is a great place for nesting, no matter what the city would do, you wouldn't control the problem.
Right.
Now, we knew that we could never eradicate the problem.
Mm-hmm.
What we were after was control, okay? But bear in mind that I knew now that the catch basins and the sewers were a real source, And that is a particular interest because the runoff of the garbage disposals and the sewage and the runoff of the so-called clean water are not separated. While it's separate pipes, they are not separate. So the sewage is a source of a wonderful source of food.
Mm-hmm.
So unless you keep your sewers clean and your catch basins clean, again you have a problem. Okay. Now, we also decided that if you let vacant lots stay messy and dirty, you'd be you'd be defeating yourself. So it became a comprehensive picture that we were talking about, not just going after rats. Okay. That was developed in committee, the ideas, you know,
mm-hmm.
and what we thought we needed to accomplish, that by the way included city steps, and the city is riddled with city steps,
mm-hmm.
as you know. Okay. How to accomplish this? Well, we came up with ideas, and some of them needed modified, but this is what we were doing. Now, sometimes we met weekly. How did I get down there? Sometimes they sent a car for me. Somebody mm-hmm. sent a car for me. Sometimes this was refuse would send a car for me. Sometimes somebody from County Health would pick me up.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I took a cab.
People were very supportive.
Yeah, they were very supportive. And sometimes, as I say, sometimes it was necessary for me to use a cab.